There is a quorum, and we are ready to start the process of going through the first part of our bill. Let me say, I'm going to consider this a roundtable committee discussion, so I don't have anybody up there. Presenting it. I'm going to talk a little bit about the philosophy that I worked on in starting the process of assembling this bill. I'll emphasize that this is the start of the process. Well, it isn't. It's actually the second step, because the first step, Representative Lilly introduced the bill as it came from the Lessard-Sams committee that went to Representative Wiginius's committee, where it received at least one amendment. And so we then started working with that. One of the decisions that I've made to set up this as the basis for setting up this model is that we would do as every other budget is throughout the legislative process. We do it as a biennial budget instead of an annual budget. But we still, in the course of doing it as a biennial budget, we have kept everything that came to us as recommendations from the Lessard-Sams Council. Some of it we've spread over a little bit. Staff has looked very carefully at stuff that clearly was meant to be continuing. Now, I'll remember when I was on the LCMR, and when I chaired it, in fact, for two biennia, one of the things we often did was that we had and of course we're bound by the Constitution. We can't do more than two-year appropriations, but we would do a two-year appropriation for something like forest inventory, which we would say, to get the state done, this is at least a 10-year project, and we can only, by Constitution, fund it 2 years at a time. And that's what we're announcing that our intention is to fund it for till it's done, and we estimate that's five biennia. And so that's very helpful for people when they're hiring staff and going on and doing things. And I think we always did it. So one of the things that we looked at was what the things that the Lessard-Sams Outdoor Heritage Council had done as as obviously continuing appropriations. You know, they funded phase two of a three-year project or so forth. So those we easily extended over the 2 years, sometimes dividing up the money slightly differently between it. And, and we've left, there is $33 million is still left on the bottom line for their advice for the next year, or for us to work with in this appropriations process. One of my reasons for doing this, I'm probably one of the few people, although I was immediately corrected by someone who said he did that too, who actually supported myself by doing grants before I was elected to the legislature. I applied for grants which supported my work at the university, and it's a real pain. I mean, probably the reason, after I discovered that when they told you that the legislature was a part-time job, they never really meant it, one of the reasons why I left the university was I didn't have time to reapply for a grant, which I was certain to get if I did reapply. And so it's a pain for both the people reviewing it and the people doing it, which doesn't mean we don't want oversight of these grants in between, in the in-between year. And we don't want, in fact, Lessard-Sams Council to possibly concentrate on more oversight. We've had criticisms of the degree of oversight of how some of the money was spent. And so we'd like to see some of the time, instead of going through the process of reapplying and redoing a grant, instead doing oversight of that grant and going on. So all of this, of course, is open. All of this is open for discussion. We did put, even though we shouldn't have considered it according to the law that we're working on, we did consider the RIM projects, which they sent to us afterwards, and in fact we increased it to $10 million. And one of the things that we like about that is every bit of money into RIM, state money into RIM, gives us 1.6 times in federal funding. And so that's so there any questions about that? Otherwise, we'll go on and have staff go over what's in this part of the bill. Representative Torkelson?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. You know, this is very sudden, very abrupt. We've had very little time to even think about this.
Well, now you do.
Thank you for that. At first blush, it just seems rather dramatic and outlandish that we're really trashing a system that's been working quite well. And I don't know how the folks that have done all this hard work on this council are going to react, but I would guess it will not be a pleasant reaction.
Well, as I started to say, we have recognized everything that we've done. We've incorporated it is everything, absolutely everything that they've done is in this bill, and it's extended, including the things that they did, which, if we read the law, we was not given to us according to law, so we could have just thrown out. So we have done everything. We have put in everything that they've asked for. So I hardly see how we've trashed any of their work. We've just said we'd like that work to go in a slightly different direction. Representative Ertl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, make sure the point was finished on that. Representative Torkelson, did you finish on that? What I would like to just address is, you know, and I understand that the time constraints that we're under, and I understand I don't think there's any attempt to subterfuge or anything like that. However, it's been brought to my attention the nonpartisan timestamp for the DE1 amendment was April 1st at 6:31 p.m. and it was posted to the committee website with no notice to committee members. And I'd just like to suggest that it would be much more helpful to us to be alerted if there are changes like that.
Well, again, the break was kind of a confusing part of the process, but there's no action being taken on this. This isn't to be acted on until Friday. So,
Madam Chair, I appreciate that, and I appreciate
this is kind of like a first public meeting instead of multiple
sure.
private meetings.
And as I was saying, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the over the break, and sometimes things get a little confused. But going forward, just if we could make sure that when changes are made, that we would have heads up ahead of time so we could make sure we know.
Well, this was considered to be the heads up from now until Friday.
All right. Well, thank you.
And I'm not. And, again, we've had multiple hearings on issues as people have come to testify on it. So, again, I apologize if anyone is offended, and we'll try to do it better in the future. So, let's go through, but I wish people would concentrate on the details of what are, instead of the process so much, on the details of what are in the bill, and to think about how you would want to do it if you want to cut it back down to a one-year appropriation. Again, I don't think it's very surprising. Every other appropriation in the legacy fund is done as a two-year appropriation. Our budget is done as a two-year budget. We go back and forth with some one-year parts in it, but it's not exactly shocking. What's shocking is maybe the way it was first set up, but I wasn't involved in doing that. So this is my suggestions for how I think it will work better. And obviously, that's the first step of a process which includes this committee, the House, the conference committee, and so forth. So there are lots of ways to go on this. Okay. Can we go through the bill now? Ms. Taylor.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm going to be going through the DE1 amendment. And what I'm primarily going to do is point out the differences between the bill as introduced, as recommended by the council, and then what's in the DE1. So I'm not going to go through each project in much detail, but I will point out the differences that I can identify. So starting on page one, the Grasslands for the Future project, the change here is that there's a second year appropriation of $2 million. But the original recommendation was for $2 million in the first year. On paragraph B on page two, the WMA program, this was split between the first year and second year. The next one is paragraph C, and the language it's on page three. This is in line with the council's recommendation, plus an additional second year appropriation of $1.6 million. The next one is paragraph B. This is the Minnesota Prairie Recovery Project. There was a drop of $1 million in the first year and then an additional $3 million for the second year. And then on page four, paragraph E, the Minnesota Buffers for Wildlife Program, and this is to Bowser, and this is as recommended by the council, plus an additional $1 million in the second year. The Cannon Rivers Headwaters Habitat Complex on paragraph F, this is as recommended by the council with an additional $800 in the second year. Paragraph G, accelerated prairie restoration enhancement on DNR lands. You go to the next page, this is as recommended by the council with an additional approximately $1.8 million in the second year. Paragraph H is a new project that was not recommended by the council but has received funding in the past, and this would provide $1 million each year. I'm starting with subdivision three. This is the forest projects, the Young Forest Conservation, paragraph A. This is as recommended by the council with an additional $500 in the second year. Paragraph B, the Camp Ripley Partnership. This is as recommended by the council with an additional $500,000 in the second year. Paragraph C, the Northeastern Minnesota Sharp-Tail Grouse Habitat Program. This is as recommended by the council with an additional $900,000 in the second year. And then on page seven, paragraph D, this is for Cass County for forest habitat. This is as recommended by the council with an additional $500,000 in the second year. Paragraph E, the Critical Shoreline Habitat Protection Program. Again, this is as recommended by the council with an additional $600,000 in the second year. Paragraph F, the Minnesota Moose Habitat Collaborative. This is as recommended by the council. I believe it was fully funded or close to it at that amount. Page 8, paragraph G, this is a new appropriation. This is for the Minnesota Forest for the Futures program, and the language sort of specifies and targets this at the Wolpus lands that you may be familiar with. Paragraph H, this is another new program. This is for the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa that you may recall, and this would provide full funding for that request over the two-year period. Paragraph I is another new project. This is $1 million in the second year for the DNR's accelerated forest habitat enhancement work, and they have received funding in the past. Then moving on to page 9, subdivision 4 in the wetlands project. As the chair mentioned, the RIM appropriation was increased from the original council recommendation, and there was an additional $8 million added in the second year. Paragraph B, accelerating the waterfall production area acquisition. This was decreased in the first year from the original council recommendations by $2 million, and then an additional $4 million was added in the second year.
Let me put one of the places where we decreased the some of the places where we decreased the first year appropriation and then put more of it into the second year is because we fully believe, looking at it with the experience, that these things often take more than 1 year to do, and they're usually not finished within the first year. So,
thank you, Madam Chair. And then now we're on page 10, paragraph C, the Living Shallow Lakes and Wetland Initiative. This appropriation was split between the 2 years. $1 million was moved into the second year for the project. The Wildlife Shoreline Protection Program, this was funded at the council recommendation level, plus an additional $1 million in the second year. The Wetland Habitat Program, this is as was recommended by the council. Paragraph F on page 11, the Accelerated Shallow Lakes and Wetlands Enhancement Project. This is as recommended by the council with an additional $1.8 million added in the second year. Paragraph G, the Pelican Lake Enhancement Project. This appropriation was split. The council originally recommended $2 million in the first year. This would just split it between the 2 years. Subdivision 5, this is the habitat-related projects. Paragraph A is for the DNR aquatic management areas, and this is another appropriation that was split between the 2 years from the council's recommendations. Paragraph B, the habitat protection in Dakota County, this again was split between the 2 years. Paragraph C, the Red River Protection and Restoration Project. This was at the council recommendations, plus an additional $1 million in the second year. Section D, the Metro Big Rivers Habitat. This is at the council recommendations, plus an additional $700,000 in the second year. And on page 14, paragraph E, the Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. This is at the council recommendations level. Paragraph F, the Lower Mississippi River Habitat Partnership. This was dropped $10,000 in the first year, and then an additional $1.7 million was provided in the second year from the original recommendations. Paragraph G, the Coldwater Fish Habitat Enhancement Project with Trout Unlimited. This was split between the 2 years. And then page 15, the Albert Lea Lake Management and Invasive Species Control Structure Project. This is funded at the council recommended level. Paragraph I, this is a new project that came in Representative Wagenius' committee, and this provides approximately $6.4 million for various metro regional park habitat protection and restoration projects. And then sort of skip ahead to page 19. The next project is paragraph J. This is another new project. This provides $3 million each year for stream habitat restoration in the Duluth area attributed to the flood damage. Paragraph K is another new project. This would provide $7 million to protect aquatic habitat from Asian carp. Paragraph L is another new project. This would provide $1 million the first year and $2 million the second year for a grant to Minnehaha Creek Watershed District, and this is to protect water bodies from aquatic invasive species. Paragraph M is another new project. This is to provide some grants to Hubbard and Beltrami counties for AIS work. On page 20, paragraph N, this is another new project. This is for some AIS work, $100,000 for AIS work in Green Lake and Candy Ojai County. Paragraph O is another new project that providing $790,000 for some habitat work near an environmental learning center. And then on page 21, paragraph P is another new project. This provides $1 million the second year for restoration enhancement work in the LaSalle Lake State Rec area. Paragraph Q is another new project. This is providing $750,000 each year for restoration enhancement work of aquatic habitat in White Bear Lake. Paragraph R is the Outdoor Heritage Conservation Partners Grant Program. This was funded at the council recommended level for the first year, and then an additional $3 million was added in the second year. And then there were some amendments in Representative Wagenius' committee requiring the match to be a cash match, and then there was also some additional changes providing some, if you look, let's see. I can't seem to find it right now. Yeah, the match language is on 2.5, 2.4 through 2.6. And then I believe there is another small change as well. And then if you look on subdivision 6, there is some additional money added for the administration. The paragraph A, the contract management, was funded at the council recommended level the first year, and then an additional $175 was provided in the second year. Paragraph B, this is the administrative budget of the council, and this is at the recommended level by the council. And on page 24, paragraph C, the technical evaluation panels, this was increased by $45,000 in the first year, and then an additional $90,000 was added in the second year. And then there's some language that goes along with this, and this was added in Representative Wagenius's committee as well. Paragraph D, this is at the council recommended level with an additional $50,000 in the second year. Paragraph E, this is a new appropriation providing some money to the LCC for the legacy website. Subdivision 7 is as it was coming out of the council recommendations, as is subdivision 8 and subdivision 9 requiring the mapping. Subdivision 10 is more of a technical, and this was just providing an additional year for a Washington County project and also providing a little bit of flexibility so that they were able to use the money for land acquisition, and this was added in Representative Wagenius's committee. Subdivision 11 is another new piece, and this is picking up some language that had been carried in the past in the Lassard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council bill that requires contact with the Conservation Corps of Minnesota for use of their services. Section 3, this gets into the statutory sections, and if you go to page 28, you'll see on lines 4, 5, and 6 that this would require the council's recommendations to biennial, but it does, if you look on page 28, or line 28.6, they do have the option to provide supplemental recommendations as well. And then if you move on to page 29, the bottom of that section, there's a new paragraph J that requires the council to provide additional oversight, as the chair was mentioning. And then section 4, if you look on line 29.22, this is back to the restoration evaluations that some additional money was added. This gets rid of the cap of 10 that were able to be identified each year, and this would just remove that flexibility with that. And this was, again, added in Representative Wagenius's committee. And then sections 5 and section 6 were added in Representative Wagenius's committee as well, and this requires section 5 requires commissioner approval of land acquisitions, either in fee or any interest, and it provides the criteria that commissioner must use in making that determination on whether to approve the acquisition. And then section 6 is another new section that requires a recipient of funds who purchases an interest in land to submit the tax assessed value and the amount the recipient plans to pay for the property to the commissioner and the council. And I think that does it, Madam Chair.
As we said, this full presentation of this will be on Friday, completely open to amendments and so forth. Are there any discussions at this point? Anything that people see as distinctly missing? Any, you know, want further discussion of the two-year process and so forth? Okay. Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question on page 15, line 15 through 20, regarding the Dakota County project for this $500,000. Just because this is the first time I had the opportunity to see this, I'm not familiar with that particular project, and it's converting existing agricultural land and low-quality woods and grasslands. I'm just curious, is that current state land?
Representative Willis?
Perhaps we could ask Madam Chair and Representative McDonald, are you familiar with? I'll yield to Representative McNamara, since he's from Dakota County. I think he's probably very familiar with this. Is that all right, or do you want staff from the Lessard Sams?
Yeah, maybe Mr. Becker could give us some further, because I know he's been involved in helping.
Madam Chair, Bill Becker, Executive Director of the Lessard Sams Council. I think the question is directed to Dakota County, who has a representative here.
Okay.
This is one of the parks projects, as they're euphemistically known.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
But we have some coming,
oh.
I think, to answer that. Come. Identify who you are and tell us what this project does.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Steve Sullivan. I'm the Dakota County Parks Director. The $500,000 project that was identified as part of the Met Council Agency 6.3 request that includes 15 projects. These are high priority natural resource projects that we're requesting outdoor heritage funds. This project specifically is for the restoration of 100 acres within Whitetail Woods Regional Park. Whitetail Woods Regional Park, it was acquired for the purposes of providing natural resource protection adjacent to the Vermilion Highlands W Wildlife Management Area, as well as it's to provide natural resource recreation to the cities of Rosemont, Apple Valley, and Farmington. This project, specifically, there is some farmland, as well as there's some lands that are covered with invasives. The park is owned by Dakota County. We'll be opening the park next December. We're doing our phase one improvements now. There's opportunity for us to improve an area that's adjacent to a pond. This pond serves as a roosting area for the WMA, and this habitat will provide for opportunities also for roosting of game and non-game species, as well as providing food source.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. So a question for the testifier. Then you mentioned in your testimony that it is some farmland. Does that mean that's currently being farmed? And if so, by is it a... leasing it out to a farmer? Is that agricultural land being used right now?
Madam Chair, committee member, yes, it is. A portion of it is.
Madam Chair, so you said there's 100 acres in the Whitetail Woods Regional Park. How many acres are being currently farmed right now?
Madam Chair, committee member, I don't have the breakdown of that. I could certainly provide that.
Madam Chair,
okay.
If I may, are you familiar? What are they farming? What's the agriculture? Is it soybeans, corn? What exactly are they farming? Do you know?
Madam Chair, I committee member, it is wheat.
Madam Chair, if I may continue. So you're not sure of how many acres now in this proposal? Will that they'll buy out that farmland, that agriculture farmland, to restore that, or is that will that currently be allowed to farm and produce something and yield something, wheat?
Madam Chair and committee member, the park was acquired by Dakota County to fill a gap within the regional system after looking at seven different sites. The park is actually 456 acres, and it's adjacent to another 3,000 acres of open space. So only a small portion of it is farmed. The rest is there is some small patches of native prairie. There's some woodlands. There's a small pond. And there's also some land that's in old pasture.
Madam Chair. And then just I want to make sure I heard you right. There's the farmland right now that's being farmed to wheat. Is that owned by the Whitetail Park? Is that correct?
Madam Chair and committee member, yes, it is. It's owned by Dakota County.
And then lastly, then under this proposal, then you'll pretty much eradicate the farming in that area.
Well, my guess, if I can just inject something in here, is that that was anticipated when the land was acquired by Dakota County for the park, just that it hasn't been done yet. But we'll go.
Madam Chair, the land was the land had been farmed by the previous owner, a portion of it, the land was deemed by the Dakota County Board after a 7-site search as a very good regional park site, and so that portion of the parkland would be restored to its, what we believe is its, the county board believes its highest best use, which is a regional park.
I think Representative Hansen, you have some comment on this specifically.
Maybe this would help, Madam Chair, to Representative McDonald. Back in 2002, Dakota County was the first county to actually tax themselves to protect farmland from development. And it was a farmland and natural area referendum to raise property taxes, to purchase easements and fee title for farmland so that it wouldn't be developed. So there's been high quality natural areas throughout the county that have been developed into parkland or into corridors. That was based on a citizen involvement and also identifying high priority farmland to keep people farming in Dakota County. This land is adjacent to the Vermilion Highlands WMA that was part of the deal when we did the University of Minnesota Stadium. There was a land swap between the University of Minnesota and Dakota County that the state was involved with. So we're trying to put different pieces together to have a large habitat park area. We also have the Vermilion River going through that area, so it's in the townships. But at the same time, you have land being taken out of production, and there's land throughout Dakota County that is being leased on the Umore property, on other properties, for a variety of types of agriculture. But the county itself has taxed its residents to pay for farmland protection. And you know that Washington County followed up a few years later, but both of those counties are the only two that have taken that local initiative to do that.
Okay. Representative Bouguinas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to the testifier, Dakota County has done some nice restoration work. And I'm looking on line 15.23, and you're going to be doing some prairie restoration. In our committee on the environment, we have been discussing pollinator habitat. And we have been talking about making sure that there is habitat throughout the whole growing season so that there are native forbs that are opening in the spring and in the fall so the pollinators, including the honeybees, have food. And that's something that hasn't been discussed in this committee, but I was wondering if you are amenable to, as you do your restorations, to have those restorations have flowers that are blossoming really early and really late, legumes, whatever. Is that something you would pay attention to and work on?
Madam Chair, Committee Member Wagenius, Dakota County, with all their prairie restorations within the park system, uses seed mixes that includes forbs, and it may have up to 100 different prairie species and flowers. The reason for it is for those purposes that diversity promotes wildlife habitat. Also, the nature of the site, some of those prairie plants take and they don't take. It's not a complete science, so it's important to diversify. Also, as climatic conditions change, we go through a drought, that seed source that may not have blossomed during that wet cycle now will come up during that the drought cycle. So it's been important from just a diversity standpoint, but also from developing a sustainable prairie ecosystem to have an extremely diverse prairie seed mix.
Okay.
Madam Chair, if I could follow up.
Yes, Representative Bugini.
I think we could take wise counsel from what Dakota County is doing here. They are doing the right thing, and perhaps one of the amendments that you might entertain on Friday would have to do with making sure that as we restore our prairie, that we provide the habitat that works also for pollinators. If I could put that on the table, sure, as a possibility.
Sounds good to me. You know, I think it's the kind of thing that it might be better, instead of adding the word including pollinators in each project, do it as kind of a general amendment at the end, just saying that prairie restoration and restoration project should give attention to this issue. Is there any?
Perhaps so.
You know, just discuss with staff, whichever staff you want to, the proper wording for that. So, yeah.
If I could ask Dakota County
could you state your name again? I don't think we caught it. That's why we're not addressing you properly. Would you?
Well, thank you, Chair. My name is Steve Sullivan. I'm the Parks Director for Dakota County.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Sullivan.
If we could ask Mr. Sullivan, perhaps you used some good words, and I didn't write them down, that perhaps you could share some words with us later on how we might phrase that.
Madam Chair,
Mr. Sullivan,
Committee Member McGinnis, we'd be happy to.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions of Mr. Sullivan? Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Just a kind of a general question. I assume that you've probably run these ideas past Lasard Sam's Council already.
They're here today. They're seeing them.
I see.
We did.
So they have not seen these prior to today?
No.
And so what is the purpose of Lasard Sam's Council?
Well, it's to give us advice, which we took very thoroughly. We spent a lot of time with their, as I said, their entire advice is incorporated into this bill.
Well, it seems to me, Madam Chair, if you're going to make major revisions in their recommendations, you would go back to the council and discuss these recommendations with them.
Not a bad idea.
Another question, Madam Chair. I see you've done a two-year budget, but you've really only done a 1 2/3-year budget. You've left, I forget the number, 30-some million on the bottom line. So it's really not a two-year budget at all.
Well, it's trying to be a two-year budget, Representative Thorkelson. Again, we didn't want to, you know, we can consider this a transition phase. So we, we wanted to leave some action for the Lasard Sam's Council to continue to give us recommendations for the next year.
That's all.
Representative Erdl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Perhaps we should just ask Mr. Becker to come up to the table.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Becker.
Representative Birdall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Becker, some of these changes have been made in how it's the money will be dispersed over the biennium. What are your feelings about this? Is this a positive change?
Yeah, it is. Madam Chair, Representative Birdall, we've checked the committee website morning, noon, and night, and only found this at noon today. It's been distributed to council members. Obviously, there's not enough time for the council as a group to form an opinion. I suspect my chair and executive committee will want to make some formal comment in some form or fashion, but I'm not prepared today to make a personal statement about what's been done here. I think that would be a mistake.
Thank you, Mr. Becker. Madam Chair.
Representative Erdl.
Mr. Becker, do you, and maybe this is too soon for this question too, how much money is spent on purchasing parkland in this bill?
Madam Chair, Representative Erdl, I've identified 600,000 that's specified in one of the appropriations to purchase land in Sibley Park. I believe the remainder, there may also be something for Fish Lake in Maplewood. We've had trouble finding it. I'm not sure how much that is. So 600 plus the Maplewood piece.
Thank you, Mr. Becker, Madam Chair.
Fish Creek, I think, is not in this. I'm not sure. I will point out that this amendment, Representative Wagenius, when was the bill in your committee? Well, sorry, Sam's bill in your committee.
I think, Madam Chair, if we could look back at the...
207.
207, and it was the adoption of the report passed as amended and re-referred to the Committee on Legacy. That was March 18th.
And so most of the contents of this bill has been available before the public since March 18th. As I said, you know, if it weren't for the break suddenly coming in there probably would have been a more, more interactive process. Representative Erdl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Becker, in this bill, how many acres of new land acquisition is there?
Excuse me while we look the figure up. The original recommendations contained 8,756 acres.
Thank you, Mr. Becker, Madam Chair.
Representative Erdl.
Thank you. Over the years, especially since the legacy amendment passed, there's been some dispute, and maybe you can't answer this today, maybe you could check on it if you don't have the answer. Is the rate of land acquisition increasing or not since the legacy amendment was passed?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Becker.
Representative Erdl. We can get you the figures for state-owned land using the state land management system. It has decelerated from the mid 90s, 94, 95. It has accelerated slightly since 2000 and, I would say 8, 7. We have a chart and we can get it properly notated to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Becker. That might be helpful to for those of us who are interested in trying to explain what's going on to people on this particular topic. Thank you.
You know, one of the thoughts I would say of that extra $33 million that's out there is that we've had this whole concept of, particularly in the case of DNR, of acquisition of land and of not properly taking care of it and not properly maintaining it. And so one of the things we might hope that the commission does in its advice to us next year is look at what could be done in the area of enhancement and maintaining and so forth as opposed to straight acquisition. And one of the things that I know that the whole idea of legacy is a new concept. At some point, I've heard in some point people say that everything had to be new, or if it wasn't new, then you were doing the supplanting instead of supplementing. But I think the idea of following up on projects that you've bought with legacy money And looking at how they're taken care of and looking at the kinds of enhancement that they need is a very proper use of it. So I would like to, you know, I guess the Lasard Sams Commission gives advice to us. If I'm going to give any advice to them, it would be to look at trying to do more of that in the next year instead of just increasing acquisition to make sure that the land we're acquiring is being used to its highest extent. Representative Riddle?
I think I'm done.
Okay. McNamara. Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I didn't think you'd be able to do it, but I think you may have exceeded my expectations. This is totally unbelievable, Madam Chair.
Why do I think that's not a compliment?
No, it absolutely it's befuddling to me. This has been the coolest thing to have this amendment passed in 2008 and for us to get $300 million a year every year since then for such great things. And for us to take such a step backwards like we are right now is befuddling to me. I can't imagine what the thoughts were in coming to this. I'm curious, Madam Chair, who helped develop these priorities, specifically how you picked and chose in year two? There's a number of projects that you're funding in year two that need to be scrutinized before they're funded again the next year, and Lasard Sams has done a good job of scrutinizing that. How were those decided to automatically be funded, and then other projects were dropped? The moose habitat I see has got nothing on the second year, but there's some projects in there that are funded on the second year that we needed to see how those were going to go the first year before we came back again.
Well, all these came from the discussions that we had seen from the Lasard Sams Commission and from their minutes and discussions, and often you could see that it says this is the continuing phase of a project. And I think there's enough, you know, if when a project is funded partially into the second year, there's plenty of room for oversight and to change the direction of it and to continue doing it. And if there's a belief that it shouldn't continue for the second year, there's probably there's a certain amount of ability to stop that if the appropriation doesn't go out until the second year. So but I think with all of the reading that we did on these, all of these are things that were meant from anything that we've discovered from what the Lasard Sams Commission said, all of these were meant to counsel, all of these were meant to be continuing projects. Their dialogue on it was all that these were, you know, the first phase of a multi-phase project. And again, this is, you know, we're open for amendments and we're open for anything. You know, this is not here for action today. This is here for a presentation today to be acted on by Friday. And as I said, we would have put, if it weren't for the problem of the break, we probably would have had a different time intervals involved in this.
Well, Madam Chair, Lasard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council is subject to open meeting laws that are more stringent than the legislature, and it's a lot of work for them to schedule a meeting. They had a meeting. Representative Hansen and I were there a couple of weeks ago. I really don't think you developed this since that last meeting. Maybe you did. If you did, I commend you. You've mentioned we. I'm assuming it's you and your staff, because you caught everybody with Lasard Sams, the entire council and the staff, unaware of what you were doing here. With none of their input, a group that's been together for 4 years to make recommendations, you've spent $68 million without even talking to a single one of them, and have picked and choose at your discretion projects. I mean, where is West Central Area School that we're going to spend $20,000 an acre to restore? Is that somewhere in out western Minnesota, Wilmer or something, or where is that?
Representative Puginius?
Do you think that's in Barrett?
What?
Barrett, Minnesota.
Madam Chair, what are we doing that costs $20,000 an acre to restore? Unless I'm not adding up right, it said 45 acre, I think it was, is it on page 20? It's $790,000 to restore 45 acres. What are we doing for restoration? We've got to be moving dirt and stuff that we're going to spend $20,000 an acre to restore it. I'm rounding up. I should be more like 17,500 or 18,000. Does anybody even know what we're doing? What's the proposal? Who presented the proposal? Does anybody realize the extent and the scrutiny that Lasard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council goes through to evaluate these projects and score them and do the state's business? This passed with 56% of the vote, more vote than President Obama got in 2008. We are doing more to put that back on the ballot and have it possibly get thrown away. We're spending $300 million a year on some of the coolest stuff, and we're coming forward here with $68 million a dartboard. There's $8 million for RIM in the second year. Representative Hansen, I don't know, is there a match the second year? Will it still be there? Is that program there? How did we decide that's the highest scored thing that we had, and we're cutting it in half, but I don't even know if it's available for a match. Do we know, Representative Hansen? Do you know, Madam Chair, Representative Hansen? Well, do you know if there's a match in the next year for RIM still available?
Well,
Representative, thank you.
I'll get to the details on the West Central. Representative Hansen, you want to talk about the RIM in the second year?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and just, I think it's important to note that the council meeting that Representative McNamara and I were at, there were members who were brand new to the council who did not have proposals in front of them that were voting on a recommendation without having any testimony or a presentation of a proposal as well, right? We had members voting on making a recommendation, right?
Well, Representative Hansen.
We did.
We absolutely did. You're right. We added $4 million to the RIM proposal that was the highest scored proposal, and there was, I believe, three new members there, and we added the $4 million that MMB told us at that meeting was available now that they didn't tell us was available at the last meeting because the numbers weren't finalized. So we voted 10-1 to approve that, to add the $4 million that was available on the bottom line to the highest scored. So these new members came in and agreed to also add something to the highest scored thing that the previous council had recommended. To equate that to this is disingenuous.
Madam Chair, I'm just correcting the record, because there was no scrutiny, there was no presentation, there was a motion within, I believe, a half an hour of a meeting starting to make a motion and make a recommendation. The statutory establishment of the council, I believe, says that the council will make a recommendation no later than January 15th. Council did that. The prior council did that. The council that met a few weeks ago, the new council made a recommendation on $4.4 million for RIM without any presentations. And there was quite a bit of comment judging on presentations that they hadn't heard from the Metro Parks. We had more presentation here today on Metro Parks than we did at that meeting that you and I were at. So I think it's just important to recognize that. To your question, I don't know if there's second year. We don't have a farm bill. We do know that the continuing of the sequestration and the decision made on early January funds RIM through September 30th. And I think we agree that we should make sure we take advantage of those dollars while they're there, because it does add value from the federal dollars, and we have the willing landowners who want to participate in this program. So there is a program until September 30th. I think that's what we know right now.
Thank
you.
Representative McNamara.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm sorry. I was the one that asked two questions, so I know you're willing to answer the first one. Now, I apologize for getting out of order there.
Well, let me just go. The West Central Schools Area Schools Project has been on our website for close to 2 weeks, which we at all times said the website was available for looking at projects that had been submitted. There's a contact information for the superintendent. There's an email contact information. And the project summary is to acquire, restore, and maintain native prairie and wetland habitats on 45 acres of land adjacent to the existing West Central Area Schools Environmental Learning Center in Barrett, Minnesota. In addition to protecting these valuable habitat, West Central Area Schools will develop and maintain this area as well as the existing Environmental Learning Center for an expanded K-12 curriculum focusing on the benefits of native prairie and wetland habitats for water quality, wildlife habitat, and soil health in western Minnesota. The Grant County Soil and Water Conservation District will provide technical assistance with restoration of the prairie and wetland habitats located on this site. Now, one of our earliest meetings of the whole, talking about not just this part, but the whole legacy thought was that I was particularly interested. I was worried about group, and some of this has been answered and that I shouldn't have had to worry about it, but I was worried about groups, I think, that had not received sufficient funding, for example, of various minority groups and so forth. I was also worried about projects that hadn't included children enough. If anything is to be a legacy, it ought to be something that that affects and that is opening projects to children. This is one of the few, I think, in this part that actually does that. Now, there are, I don't want to blame things on that break, which I appreciated having, but it really did put in terms of trying to put things together, getting things through the initial committee, such as the Environment Finance Committee, and so forth. It did, mean that we had a long period when we didn't do anything, and then now suddenly we're a little bit crunched. But considering that this bill is not to be acted on until Friday, I think that there's plenty of time to look at things.
If I could just ask one more, and then, Madam Chair, I think I'll quit. Why did you make the decision to not involve Lessard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council?
Well, I think there's plenty of ability for them to be involved. We've been having a whole bunch of committees. I've been talking about this from the first day that this was going to be my intentions. I specifically said that I considered the Lessard Sam's Commission advisory to this legislative committee, and we took all their advice. So I'm not sure what I haven't done or what I haven't done that's
Madam
not
Chair,
amenable to be repaired in the rest of the session.
Madam Chair, I served on Lessard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council last biennium with Representative Lilly, who serves on this committee, and Representative Hansen and I serve on here now as ex officio.
Okay.
Currently, I'm not aware of the Lessard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council ever having a discussion that you had talked to anyone on the council or their staff that you were going to bring a bill forward to spend $68 million in the second year or they could make recommendations to you. Did you tell Mr. Becker that you wanted them to make recommendations and they refused to meet, or how did they know you were going to recommend the second year, and why would we not want them to help us through the process?
All along I've said that my intention was to move to a two-year process from maybe the very first day that we met here. And, that's a public meeting and a public statement, and it's available. I did have, the one member who did contact me, and I did have extensive conversations and meetings and so with that member, and email exchange and so forth. And, so I was certainly willing to talk to anybody who wanted to talk to me. Anyway.
Well, Madam Chair, if I could, I'm going to offer you my condolences, because as someone who actually made a recommendation to change about $5 or $6 million of a change last year, and recommended that we more scrutinize a purchase and save the state $3 million. Ooh. Good luck with spending $68 million with no input.
Well, I think we're looking for where the input should come, which is the entire legislative process. So, Representative Lilly, you have three more people now. Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to your point, you have mentioned that you were interested in a two-year process since day one, because I remember my jaw dropping at that point, and I was like, oh my. I kept thinking, oh my. but you know, this legacy bill has been an interesting journey, and I remember when I was on it the first time with Chair Murphy, she really believed in libraries, and I just, you know, and now, you know, it's pretty, I'm sure it's going to be included in the bill as it goes forward this year, and I think everybody kind of sees the value of it. And last year we had Chair Erdahl kind of doing the county fair thing with, and I think he even got the ward, even though it really should have been Representative Torgelson's. You know, so each chair kind of puts their own little mark on the bill and the ideas, and you know, I kind of go back to my oh boy moment. Oh man, this is going to be something. And you know, I play hockey with Phyllis, and I know she's fearless, and so she
you
continues.
Really know I'm cautious.
Cautious, well, not in this case, but. I she has not been secretive about it, to her credit, and so and all along she's done that. You know, I was on the commission the last 2 years, and to be honest, those folks really take it serious. I know it's really probably not my bill anymore, but it was at some point, and then I think it's yours now. but you know, the 2 year model is an interesting idea. I'm quite certain that staff knew about it. I hope in the future that we consider changing some of the nature of the Lessard SAMs, that it would become more fluid when we're in session, and maybe they would have an opportunity to look at the proposals that come from here, and we could become more interactive with the Lessard SAMs, you know, and have them look at legislative proposals and to merge something together that works. And I would hope that maybe we'd look at that, you know, hour in the future, and that they, you know, there's probably things that are going to work. The binder was really, as Representative McNamara knows, it's, you know, it's like a bonding bill projects that Chair Hausman goes through all the time, but it's huge asks, a lot of different asks, it's tricky and complicated. A lot of the projects are repeats. Just to, for newer members, I didn't know that till I got on it, but there was like phase ones, two, or, you know, obviously new projects, but there a lot of them were threes or fours or continuing through multiple years. So that's probably what staff looked at when they were looking at some continuation of the funding. Some of them made sense. Obviously, RIM is an easy one to get your arm around. I don't have the answer if it's going to be there, but sure as heck, if it is there, let's go after that money, because that's why it was rated number one, because it can really give you the bang for the buck. You get a multiplying factor of 1.6 at least, and it's really easy to understand why that's money well spent. You know, there's some controversy in our votes, and you know, a lot of you aren't going to know about it, but the Frontenac project was, you know, it got really close, and some of us voted for it or against it, and then later on some of us that voted for it voted against, and it switched, but at the end of the day it wasn't included. But that it really wasn't a definitive absolute no in my mind. I mean, it was, you know, and it probably would have been funded in the future, would be my guess. So having that included isn't as controversial. There's a lot of good things in here, and there continue to be. I just wish that somehow we could include the folks that are on the Lessard Sams with us as legislators, because I get that it's advisory, but they do good work, and I just really want to thank Mr. Becker there and Heather Cope and Sandy Smith back there. You have a really good staff that really take the job serious and look at the proposals, and Janelle Taylor here and Greg Knopp with the Senate. They take it serious and do good work, but there's some new projects which I happen to, like the old stuff, like Albert Lee, there's some good things in there that are good, but then like the new one they added, I didn't even know it was in there, but anytime you're looking at fixing White Bear Lake, which is clearly in deep trouble, it's a habitat area in the metro that's in deep trouble. Well, it's not deep anymore, it's quite the opposite actually, but it's in big trouble, and it's a great fishing habitat in the metro here, and I didn't put it in there, but I'm pretty darn happy to see it's there. So I don't know where it goes. I the chair has been clear that she was, it's not a surprise to any of us. Actually there's a lot of things we've had to vote on that we have to vote on in a lot quicker than this. We have till Friday to look at it and to go forward. So anyways, just some thoughts.
Okay. Representative McDonald.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. See, I'm just reading the legislative guide that we got from the chairman regarding this committee. And for the last 3 years, I've been used to reading spreadsheets from Health and Human Services and K-12 and property taxes, so on and so forth, and then in my work in the private sector. But it says here regarding future cost, when making funding decisions, project proposers should give the legislature a clear understanding of what future costs may be incurred to maintain the benefits of the project being funded. The legislature should understand who is likely to pay the ongoing costs and with what funds. And frankly, I guess, maybe I have to claim ignorance because I am new to the committee, but this, I have no clear understanding whatsoever of the projects to be funded and in future years and in past years and past projects. It just seems to be, for one that needs to make decisions on, what projects are funded and what monies and what the what's going to be the outcomes. I think it goes against, unless someone can say otherwise, it goes against exactly what our Constitution here for the guide says that we should follow.
This isn't exactly a constitutional guide.
Well, I misspoke there. Something. Principles, a guideline. Principles for using, principles for use on the expected outcomes of funds from dedicated sales tax. So, Chairman, I don't see any clear understanding regarding the bills that are in front of us and some of the funds. I have many questions, of course, regarding some of the projects, but there seems to be a very clear understanding of the appropriations and the outcome in years to come, as it says in the guide that you gave me when we joined.
Well, as I said, almost all of this came directly from Lessard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Commission. What we're hoping is with the extra time in terms of continuing things that were clearly meant to be continued, and is that they'll help do some of that. They'll help spend more of the time going into the second year on that instead of going through an entire new requests for proposals, applications process, and so forth, of which, of course, they can do some of that too, but that will obviously be a lesser part of their process. So that's one of the things that we're hoping to do, is we're hoping that this process will mean that more time will be spent on oversight and looking at issues like future costs and looking at issues. And one of the things we're going to do, maybe as part of the whole bill, is also look at the concept of maximizing cost sharing, not making a requirement for matching funds for everything that we do, but you make it clear that when matching funds are available for a project, that's a big plus for that project. And I know that that's been true with a lot of the ones that they've done, particularly with some of the groups that they've worked with. there's been a lot of money put into matching funds. But I think we're going to make it clearer in the legislation that we would like to see that. So,
Madam Chair, good. I'm glad to hear that you'll make it clearer. Then, can you supply for the committee then in the spreadsheets, the financial spreadsheets, the previous years, the previous bienniums, maybe going back at least 4 years, so we can see what projects that appropriations were given and some of their outcomes. Are you able to provide that for us?
Ms. Rupp. Okay.
We can provide you with the appropriations for the projects. I guess I don't have any information on the outcomes for them. But I'd be happy to provide the previous bienniums appropriations.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Just the numbers would be fine.
Well, we'll certainly get that. That's the information that we have. Maybe we can have some discussion from Mr. Becker about the outcomes issue.
Madam Chair, Bill Becker, Executive Director of SOHC, we'll get the committee the aggregate outcomes and point you toward the individual program outcomes. They're all on our website. Each program has an accomplishment plan that spells out what it intends to do and where it intends to do it, acre by acre and place by place.
Okay. Representative Haslam.
Well, Madam Chair, I think a number of other people have come to your defense as well, but I thought it was always very clear to me. I'm still relatively new to this, but I thought that various principles and plans were all clear and expected. I think my further confusion, I'm not part of the earlier committees that have seen this, so I saw all of this for the first time today. But as I felt the tension, I took all of this, I took the spreadsheet and went line by line, and every single recommended project is here funded at that level or greater. And so this, it's quite an interesting puzzlement in terms of the emotion expressed about what's here. Every single suggested project is here at the recommended amount or greater, and so it's been an interesting discussion for me to listen to and to not comprehend in terms of sort of emotional reactions.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Hausman. I think that's a great point. All $96 million of the recommendations are there, and then we spent $68 million more kind of haphazardly, so we should all be happy.
Madam Chair, I object to the haphazardly.
Yeah, well, Madam Chair, let me ask you. Project on page 6, Northeastern Minnesota Sharp-tailed Grouse Habitat Program, Phase 4. What will the $900,000 in the second year be used for?
Continuation of the same thing that's been done in the first year.
And Madam Chair, what is that?
You can read it as well as I can.
Well, Madam Chair, is
management process.
Madam Chair, is there a need for additional brush clearing and transition from that land from a scrub brush to habitat for sharp-tailed grouse? Does Pheasants Forever have more potential landowners that want to transfer that land currently?
What this does, Representative McNamara, is it matches their initial request, which was cut down by the Lessard Sams Commission. So, and I do imagine. So we're dealing with their initial request of, so. You know, hopefully they're in agreement with that. This, unless they believe their initial request was wrong. If they need more in the second year, I'm sure they'll come back for it. And I'm sure I have a certain amount of trust in both these organizations that have worked with us and the state organizations, is that they're not going to throw money away if it shouldn't be spent. But my guess is that brush clearance can probably be done every year, and when you think you've done it, you probably haven't. So some of the things that were spread over 2 years, we went back to their initial request and then gave them what Lessard Sams did and gave them the rest in the second year. This is an example of having done that.
Well, Madam Chair, this is a good example right here. This is a new, innovative project trying to capture and expand a population of sharp-tailed grouse in central northeastern Minnesota that we have, that we're trying to expand that population. But it's a very, I'm trying to think of the right words. I don't want to say, it's hard to say if it's going to work or not.
Well,
and to blindly go forward and spend $900,000 without the good information we would be able to collect for another year, just to say, Madam Chair, you and I have been around the legislature, and you've been here much longer than I, know that people come in and ask for more than they really need all too often. For us just to go and say, well, it sounds like a cool project, and actually, Madam Chair, I'd recommend you go and look at last week's Outdoor News, because there's an article about this specific project that will help you. But I'm just disappointed. The Lasard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council, like the Clean Water Council, have done great work in making this $300 million a year stay in Minnesota for the next 22 years, and hopefully our grandchildren will continue it after this. After that, this is a huge step backwards, Madam Chair, a huge step. And I don't understand. I wish you could tell me why. You're talking about how you reached out to all these people. Never once have I heard you say, other than probably a passing conversation with you and potentially, I'm not going to say which commission member, at a Christmas party or something, I was never aware that this was coming. There's been no input from that group. That's a fantastic group with all kinds of expertise specifically in these issues. This one project I'm just talking about is a very sophisticated, neat project that should be studied the next year. We don't just go sprinkle $68 million because we want to send $6 million up to the St. Louis River. Yeah, they had a flood. Do they need $6 million? I don't know. It wasn't a priority of the council. We didn't hear it. It may be next year, but let them weigh in on the process. This is, if you want to go to 2 year, did you tell the council, come on in, your meeting, we met 2 weeks ago, I want to spend $68 million bucks. Tell me what you think we should do. I don't think you did that, Madam Chair. You just went, and the last 10 days we were off, decided, well, I'll throw something together and do 60. You exceeded my expectations. I
still call that a compliment. But I respect that.
I certainly respect that, because all I did was save the state $3 million, and it was unbelievable what I went through. I hope you figure you're saving about $50 million bucks. Good luck.
Representative McNamara, again, just looking at the piece of paper that's in front of you, that northeastern Minnesota sharp-tailed grouse habitat program is in phase four in this. So we've had 3 years of looking at it, and they are continuing that they want it to go on, and what this did was meet their whole, the entire request of Pheasants Forever and the Sharp-Tailed Grouse Society. Now, if they come back and tell us that we shouldn't have that extra 900 between now and Friday, they come back and tell us that we shouldn't have it, we'll take it out just like that. Or we'll vote. We'll have a vote on it. So I would suggest, if they agree with you and that's not well thought out, that they should come back and tell us to take it out. And we'll certainly consider that.
Madam Chair, and I was not showing it as an example that it should not get the money. I was showing it as an example where we need additional scrutiny, because it is an innovative program trying to restore sharp-tailed grouse in an area that they're doing better in far northwestern Minnesota. But it's important, no difference than the moose one. And the moose one you didn't fund. Again, we don't know. It may not work what we're trying to do with the moose, but it may be that we have a real need. Maybe next year we're going to want $4 or $5 million for them.
Again,
I don't know.
Let me point out to this one, which I think there's more data on than others. This is phase four of a project, and it's projected to go on for 4 years beyond that. Again, if they think that that's a mistake and they come back, or members of the council come back and tell us it's a mistake, you know, we'll certainly listen to them and and possibly decide to take it out. But you know, if that's what those two groups tell us, that they'd rather rather spend more time reapplying for it in the next year. And I assume if it's going well, we'll probably have a further application. But I do know it really helps everyone to have as much in place for 2 years as you possibly can in terms of long. And I don't think there's anything that we've funded for 2 years which had any indication that it wasn't going to go on at least that long or beyond that. And again, if we've made a mistake, please tell us. Please tell us what we should, you know, particularly if it's question of, and if we take things out, then we can probably put more money in other things. You know, that's the way it goes. But if, you know, I'd be just, again, waiting for that kind of reaction. Okay. We have a couple of minutes left, and we have Erdahl and Murphy, and then I guess Torkelson again. So, Erdahl, Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And first, I'll just say, you know, it's no surprise to me that, you know, you went to 2 years with this. I mean, I agree that you said that earlier. I'm a little bit, I guess I would expect a little more input into the second year of the process, you know, by the LCCMR, but I'm not surprised that it's gone this way.
Not the LCCMR.
Oh, I'm sorry. Lasard Sams. Thank you.
Maybe we should make it like the LCCMR.
Yeah. But, you know, and another comment with, you know, Representative McDonald earlier on the scrutiny of projects, which, you know, certainly is important, but it's why we really depend on Lasard Sams and the Clean Water Council, you know, for habitat and water and for the, you know, metropolitan parks, for what to do with parks, because we have these folks who are, you know, giving us good expert advice and what's happening in those. That's why they are so important. I just have one question for Mr. Becker, and that's of this $68 million for the second year. How many, maybe not so much the money, but how many new projects that were not recommended by Lasard Sams are included in this?
Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl, will you take an estimate?
Yes.
I would say there are on the order of a dozen, 10 maybe.
What is that including the Metropolitan Parks Project 1, 2? Because that was...
No.
Okay.
No.
That's all. Thank you.
Representative Murphy.
Madam Chair, Representative McNamara, I don't think you should worry so much because, you know, Friday was a free day for me. And I went out.
Mary, would you take the microphone down?
I went out for my walk on Friday afternoon, and off of my road is Grouse Ridge Drive. And you know what? It's working because on my walk, I saw a grouse.
And what's even better is that she recognized
it. I never saw a grouse on any other day on Grouse Ridge Drive.
Madam Chair, just for the record, what Representative Murphy saw was a rough grouse. The project is for Sharpdale. Representative Murphy, I've been here long enough from your description of your beautiful garden and the deer and such that are attracted to Hermantown that it would be a rough grouse in your area, not a sharp-tailed grouse. Sharp-tailed grouse are a prairie, more out in the open country, and you live in a nice area of Hermantown.
Northeastern Minnesota, Grouse Ridge Drive, I think it's working.
It may be a sharp-tail. You're right.
Where it pays for, it's working.
Now, Representative Torkelson. No, you can't follow that. Okay. I
was really looking for an oath.
If there are any, I don't know if there are any other comments. I guess I was hoping we'd have time for comments from the audience. We clearly don't, but we'll that will be Thursday. We'll have audience comments on Thursday, and we'll be voting on bill on Friday. So, okay, any other questions? Meeting adjourned.